All right, friends, we're going to continue our series by faith this morning, looking at characters in the Old Testament that reveal three things. They reveal the character of God. If we're going to follow God, don't you want to know who he is, what he's like? So the character of God, and then the nature of humanity, like who we are. We find ourselves in these stories, in our weaknesses, in our vulnerabilities. And then we are revealing the plan of God, the unfolding plan of God that culminates in the coming of Jesus Christ to forgive humanity and make all things new. And so we are going to continue in this series by looking at one character in the Old Testament that comes right after Moses, and we're going to look at Joshua. So if you have your Bibles, go to the front part of it. We're going to Joshua chapter 1. If you go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, I will meet you there in just a minute. To remind ourselves a little bit of the progression of this story, it is God's people, the children of Abraham, the offspring of Jacob, 12 tribes that have found themselves in Egypt. And they've been in Egypt for 400 years, oppressed by taskmasters. And we've seen a God who hears and a God who sees and a God who responds and a God who comes to deliver them. And a chosen instrument for God to use to bring deliverance was this man named Moses. And Moses had brought the people out of bondage, out of slavery, out of a place of death. And he's bringing them through the wilderness. And we left off where they were at Sinai, where they're being formed as a people. Remember, God not only frees us, but he's interested in forming us. The formation that comes not so that we can be earning our salvation or deserve our salvation, but because of the work that God has already done, he's now giving us the formational DNA of being the family of God. And here he has formed the people of God, and they've gathered all the necessary elements, and they're on the precipice of going into the promised land. Like they're on the Jordan River, and Moses sends out a representative from each tribe, 12 spies, to go out into the land to gather a report of its fortified cities, of its inhabitants, of its fruitfulness, and to report back what they find. And the 12 spies, these 12 members of each tribe, go out into the land and they spend 40 days looking at the land, looking at these cities, seeing what is there, and they come back with a report. And the report is, everything that God said would be true of the land is true. And then 10 of those who reported back said this, but we can't take it. The inhabitants are too big, too numerous, we're too small, the city's too fortified. In fact, the only thing we can do is turn around at this point and go back to Egypt. Like, if Moses is going to lead us anywhere, he's going to lead us back to Egypt, or we're going to find new leadership. Except two of the spies we know by name, Caleb and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua turn to the people and say, people, no! Like, remember God. Remember his faithfulness, his activity in our life. Remember what he's done. What did he do to Pharaoh and the people in Egypt? How he brought us out. How we crossed the sea. How he has sustained us, provided for us. You've seen the mighty acts of God. We can do the things that God has promised, for he'll be with us. But the voice of the 10 is loud. And the voice of the 10 spreads. And the voice of the 10 is believed. And so the people of Israel follow their voice instead of God's again. And in turn, the consequence is that they will now enter back into the wilderness for 40 years. So that generation of unfaithfulness can die out. And a new generation can come forward and perhaps enter the land. It's that reason they spend 40 years in the wilderness. See, for many people, they think of the story as they left Egypt and they wandered for 40 years to get to the promised land. It's like, Moses, how bad of directions do you have? Like, why does it take 40 years? I'm looking at a map. You could walk there in a couple weeks. It's true, they were there within a few months, ready to enter. But the people believed the report of faithless men and in turn came and wandered for 40 years. Again, under the leadership of Moses. And his assistant that got to observe leadership of Moses was Joshua. Joshua, from a young man, became an older man under that leadership, watching how Moses led the people in the wilderness. And near the time of Moses' departure, he's going to commission Joshua in front of all of the people for what comes next. This is what Moses says, chapter 31, verse 7.
Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all of Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. And you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." And then Moses dies. And we turn and we find this next book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. And here Joshua is now stepping into that commission. And what Joshua teaches us is, how do we live into what comes next? I guess the question I have for you, how are you currently living for whatever comes next? Now, whatever comes next is future-oriented. And when it's future-oriented, there is a bit of uncertainty. Like, how is this going to unfold? How does it all come together? Specifically when the transformation has happened from leadership, the mission has not changed, but it enters a new chapter. How is it that the people of God live into whatever comes next in their life? And may I suggest, the way we do it as the people of God, no matter what's coming next in your life, this week, this month, this next year, this next season, whatever it is, we face whatever comes next by faith. We do it by faith, not on our own strength, our own expertise, our own skills. We do it by faith. And the faith that Joshua models for us can actually be the faith that we have, that is marked by both courage and strength. And so the people of God, facing whatever comes next, face it with courage and strength by faith. Joshua 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel." This is the commissioning of Joshua as the servant assistant of Moses. So he has experience in 40 years of the wilderness. Here he has watched Moses and his leadership when the people grieved and murmured and complained to him. How does Moses respond to that? When the people said, "We're going to cause a mutiny and find a new leader," how does Moses respond to that? When the people of God try to worship other gods, how does Moses respond to that? When the need of leadership goes beyond Moses' capability of being able to be judiciary in solving conflicts amongst the people, how does Moses raise up new leaders for that? Like, Joshua has been observant, but now is the time in which Joshua takes the next chapter forward. And God says to him, "You are the man to do this. You're going over to the Jordan," and he's going to call him three times to be strong and courageous. And I want to show you, where's the source of Joshua's strength and courage? And can it be yours for whatever you're facing next? First and foremost, it's rooted in this, that it's God who's providing the land. This was not an invention that someone had thought up to be a good idea. This is the work that God has called them to, that they are faithfully walking after. You see it here in verse 2? "I am giving to them, to the people of Israel." That God is providing this. This was God's idea. God is the initiator. And what Moses and Joshua have been faithful to do is follow God's leading. So by faith, Israel is to inherit a land, and inherit a land that God is giving to them. By faith, they will possess it because God gives it. The first thing that you have to know is that you're following God's plan. It's his provision. Again, in verse 3, it goes on, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon," God says, "I have given you. Just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory." It's a gift that God has given that Israel simply receives by faith. It's the same in our walk with Jesus, is that Jesus has procured an inheritance for us that we receive by what? Faith. We simply walk after what God has prepared for us and receive it. Now, there's work to do.
They're going to do some work as they come into the land, but by faith, they are receiving it. But the first thing that gives them the strength and the courage is this isn't Joshua's plan. Joshua doesn't have to give it to them. Joshua is leading them in what God is providing them and what they are to receive. Second is this, that God was the one who will protect them. Verse 5 says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." So who is the one that protects Joshua? Who is the one that fights these battles? It's God. God's the one that says, "No one will be able to stand against you. I will be with you. I will be your protector." So he's the provider of this, and he is the protector of this. And then lastly, it's his presence that makes all the difference. See, God has already said this a couple times. You see it right here. "I will be with you" in verse 5. "Be strong and courageous." Again in verse 7, "Only be strong and courageous, being careful to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success. Wherever you go, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That's the source of Joshua's strength, that he is following in God's plan of provision, that it's God who's the one who's going to protect him, and it's God's presence that matters. That's the source of his strength. It's not as though Joshua has to pull himself up by the bootstraps or kind of like create some good vibes of courage and strength. No, he's leaning into a source that gives him the courage and strength to face whatever comes next. Why I'm so encouraged by that is that we have the same access to that today. It's not as though Joshua had special access to some source of courage and strength to allow him and only him to accomplish great things. It's that God actually invites you in the life that you're living with whatever comes next to do it according to his plan, to do it allowing him to be the protector of your life and to allow his presence to be the source of your strength. It's the same for us. In fact, the second thing that's revealed here as his source of strength and courage and success is also available to us. It's the word of God. So the first is the provision of God, the protection of God, the presence of God, and now you see the word of God, which God is calling Joshua to remain in. So back up to verse 7. "Only be strong and courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you." Well, what is it that Moses revealed to the people? Is the word of God, the ways of God, the commands of God, the practices of God. It's what they've been formed in as the people of God. And what he's saying is, by leaning into the word of God, the ways of God, the practices of God, that is the source of your success. You see it there in verse 7, "Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success." The success of the people in the land is directly connected to their obedience to God's word. In fact, it's by obedience that they are fruitful and they have success, and it's by their disobedience in which that we find them ultimately removed. Verse 8 again, it says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according all that is written in it. For then you will make your way," it says, "prosperous" or fruitful. Again, it's the word of God, the ways of God, the plans of God in which they are to be standing up in. In fact, it's not just a mental assent to know it. It's actually to know it, and he says to speak it on your lips, to meditate on it. The words actually murmur on it, that you actually talk about this in community. It's not just in isolation in your quiet time, but that you are speaking the word of God to one another, building one another up by the word of God, reminding one another of God's ways.
thinking about it, meditating on it day and night, and that is what makes it prosperous. Now, this is the context in which Joshua is given, but this is also what is applied to us as the followers of God when you open up the Psalms. Psalms is the beginning of the writings. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 begins this way for all the people. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the counsel of sinners, or stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." It says, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind blows away." So for the righteous, those who are living by faith, looking for strength and courage to face whatever comes next, one of the ways that the scripture speaks about our strength and courage is that we are rooted like a tree in the word of God, like a tree planted by streams of water in which leaf never withers, and in season, what does a tree do to be prosperous? Bears fruit. In season, its prosperity of bearing fruit is directly connected to it abiding its roots in the word of God. Not so the wicked who sit in the seat of scoffers, who walk in the way of sinners, but not so for the people of God. And so he's calling Joshua to this very same call. Remember the words of Moses, all that I commanded. Like that is what is similar in this whole story. Like the words, the God is the same. People are different. The chapter might be different, but the word, the God, and the mission are the same. And so he's asking him, stay rooted in it, that you would remain prosperous. So the source of Joshua's strength, to be strong, to be courageous, is rooted in being with God and being in his word. That's it. And those two things are available to you today. If you lack strength and courage for whatever's coming next in your life, and you're a bit unsettled, anxious, worried, my encouragement to you is this. Stop, slow down, find time, root yourself in relationship with God and his word, and allow him to build into you the strength and courage to face whatever comes tomorrow. Now, one of the things that quickly debunks as we have a minute is that Joshua is not a leader in isolation. Oftentimes we look at these characters in the Old Testament, we're like, man, superheroes, like just doing their thing all by themselves. And Joshua isn't either. Joshua is a leader amongst leaders. And so after hearing all of this, look what Joshua does in verse 10. And Joshua commanded the officers, that's the leadership of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days we are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. He's a leader amongst leaders. He's not this isolated, individualistic commander that everybody follows. He comes to the leadership that's given to the people and says, let us prepare us so that we can go over together and that we would inherit the thing that God has promised us to have. And so he is one amongst many who are following God. That's just a good mark of leadership, is those who have leadership are empowering other leaders to accomplish the mission together. And if you can continue to read, I hope you do, find some time this afternoon, read as they cross the Jordan, and you see these parallels of the same God that was with Moses being with Joshua as they cross into the promised land. And there, Joshua does this where he marks out a memorial, as Gary talked about, and then he inscribes on the altar the Ten Commands, and he reads publicly in front of all the people the word of God. This is what we've been called to. Let us be the people. And at the very end of his life, having been established in the land, there's this famous exchange that Joshua has. Some of you have this written in your house somewhere, where Joshua has the people of God before him. And he has this moment where he calls them to be with God, to be rooted in his word. Chapter 24, verse 14, Joshua says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness." That's the call. "Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord." Like, you got a family history, your grandparents did a different thing, separate yourself from it. Like, you're the person that's gonna change the trajectory of your family forever. "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord," like you hate this, "then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." Like, we know that there's a bunch of cultures that hate God, don't want to serve God, serve other little g gods, "or serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Like, he's calling a community to make household decisions who you're gonna serve. Like, who's your marriage gonna serve? Where's your family gonna be oriented? Where do you direct resources? What does the calendar look like? Choose you this day. Are you gonna continue in your family legacy, serving gods like that were in Egypt? Or are you gonna serve the gods that are very popular in the land? Or, I'm gonna tell you what my family's doing and you have to make a decision too. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And every single person in this room, whether you're single or married, whether you're married with kids, maybe you're grandparents of generations, you have to make that decision who you will serve. "As for me and my house, we're serving the Lord." It's the only source of strength and courage in life. Now, ultimately, Jesus is the better Joshua. He's the one that doesn't just bring them into a land of promise, but brings them into an inheritance of promise. The scriptures speak about this being the better or the greater rest. Coming into the land was to rest from your adversaries, to rest into the land, to enjoy an inheritance. And Jesus Christ is the better Joshua, who came in to conquer the devil himself, sin and death, and provide for us a greater inheritance. Here's how the writer of Hebrews put it, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. "For if Joshua had given them rest," like true, real rest, like that was it, "God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest," and we do it by faith, "so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence," he says, "draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." It's interesting, the writer of Hebrews, pointing to the greater rest that Jesus provides, points us to the same two things: the word of God, which is sharper than a two-edged sword, and to the throne room of God, the presence of God. And I love that the throne of God that he asks you to come to is called the throne of grace. Do you see that? It's like, come to the throne that you might receive grace and mercy in your time of need. Are you in a time of need? You don't know what's coming next? Maybe this is just for you. Be strong and courageous. Be with God, be rooted in his word, receive grace and mercy in this time. Now we're gonna end this morning right there. And I'd love to end by just all standing. And in your own heart, me presenting you with a question and you answering it. Choose you this day who you will serve. Whether the gods of your family legacy or the gods of all of our culture, or the living God. Let's pray. Father, we ask for strength and for courage. We pray that your presence would be felt in our life. Father, we pray that we would know your word, that it would be on our lips, it would be on our minds, that we would meditate on it and act on it. May you now scatter us from this place as the people of God, to be instruments that make much of the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for all of those who are unsettled of what is coming next in their life. I pray that this would be a marker in their life where they again reaffirm that they choose to serve you. Father, I pray that your presence and your word would strengthen them for the days ahead. Father, we ask that we would remain as a faithful people, obedient to you, fearing God, serving God, loving others, making much of you and caring for the needs of others is more important than ourselves. May we be shaped and fashioned like our Savior, Jesus the Christ. It is in his name that we pray all these things. Amen. If we can be praying for you specifically, our prayer team is always up here in the front. Whether it's something small or big, come pray with us. Otherwise, have a great rest of your weekend. We look forward to being together very soon.